The big story today, Ed, if you're waking up this morning and haven't heard the news, the biggest story this morning will be that after 26 years, the footy show on Channel 9 is no longer going to be produced and produced by your media company, Ed, and the show that you created and started.
It's a Nine Network show with us, and always has been. Various people have been through the place, and you know, I'm just I'm sad because it's the end of the run of a great show. In that regard, Darce, it's gone for 26 years. You know, when we first started the show, we were told you got 6 weeks to make it right. And here we are.
26 years later,
26 years later, and we've got 729 more episodes out of it than what anybody thought in the first night. So it's been a huge success. I think it's transformed football and certainly the entertainment and the commercialisation of the game. So we're hugely proud of that. Sam Newman should be in the TV Hall of Fame. Whether or not they do, that's up to them. But there is no doubt that Sam Newman has been one of the most influential people in the history of media in this town. And now that the show's finished, we can actually reflect on that.
Yep.
Many incarnations of the show, the original show, different hosts along the journey, but Sam was the mainstay. And I watched last night's show with critical eyes, and I thought it was a really good show. So I think Limo and Nerrily and all the team there.
Dylan Alcott
and Croft and everybody should be very proud of the last show that went to air. I'm very proud of what went to air last night. I watched both shows last night. I watched that show and The Front Bar, and I thought they were both really good shows, completely different. Unfortunately, on this one, the network wanted to go with a younger feel, decided to try something. Probably the show would have finished up at the end of last year on the last grand final show, which rated really well, and finished off on a high note. But to Nine's credit, they decided to have another go and just see with a new look in a very crowded market in a year when there's been so many Thursday night football shows. So it's always been bouncing around a bit. Didn't really get much of a chance, but I'm very, very proud of what the guys put to air over the 6 months that they've been on. So bad luck. Sometimes these things happen, Darce. It comes to an end. My heart goes out personally to all the crew and to the many people who today wake up. And, Melbourne production is very important, something I fight hard for. We're losing a lot of it. It's one of the last of the big shows that is done in Melbourne. So from a production point of view, you know, there's a lot of people who'll get on this morning, a lot of people in the media will death ride the show and maybe enjoy giving it the last kick. I hope they don't do that, because there's a lot of people who've put a lot of kids through school and put a lot of meals on tables, and a lot of people have worked hard on it. And the other thing I think people forget, Darce, is that every week that I hosted the show, and long after I did, when we had the tables and the big show, every one of those was filled by a charity. And millions of dollars went back into the footy community because of the success of the footy show. So, hey, all things must pass. 26 years, it's been the longest running show in the history of sports entertainment. It was the first show that really had sports entertainment that went on prime time. There's so much to celebrate. I'm not going to look back and be a narc about anything other than it changed my life. It was the biggest influence on my life. It gave me everything I've ever had in my life and everything I could have dreamt of. I love the show. I love what it did in television, and I really, really have a great affinity and feeling for everybody who've ever been on show, including yourself,
who came through.
So I'm sad and gratified at the same time.
Often tell the story that you used to find out whether you're in the team from you on the show. So if some of my early memories of you weren't great, you're out. Darcy back in the VFL and then back in the next week. So it just at the time, it was so mad.
It was when you were Darcy, son of David Darcy, is getting a game down the Bulldogs. That's a great story.
Yeah, that's right. And, we used to watch Doug Hawkins finish training and drive into the show, and then everyone in town watched the show when it came. It was just so massive, and there was nothing quite like it.
13 years of it, Darcy, it was nearly one in four people or one in three people in Melbourne watched the show on a Thursday night. Everyone watched it.
I didn't come from a footy family, but it made us enjoy football from an outside of football perspective, Ed, and really, really enjoyed it.
And if you're a player and you went on it for the first time, no bigger moment, and you could have been more nervous getting getting changed in Sam Newman's room, and, you know, Sam would sort of look at, you know, he was such a great host, Sam, and people behind the scenes don't understand, you know, the players for a long period of time, I'm not sure how, you know, whether that continued on, but you get dressed in Sam's room. So Sam was the biggest star in town along with Ed at that stage, and that was just a monumental experience.
It was great fun.
Couldn't have been more, you know, nervous. Go up and have dinner upstairs with Ed and all the team. There's so many people that had their opportunity created on the back of it. Congratulations, mate. That's the
It was really great fun.
Yeah.
It was so much fun, mate. It was that's the great thing about it. And, you know, these things, like anything, they end up becoming industries in the end. So, you know, in a lot of ways, I always blanch when somebody talks about the football industry. It's not an industry. It's sport. It's fun. It's great. And we can get ourselves caught up in these things at times. But, you know, I hope people reflect that maybe 133-53 will through the course of the morning, your favourite footy show moments. Was there something that happened that was important in your life? Did you get touched by the footy show at some stage? We'll take some
Give us a call, 133-53. 26 years. If you could launch something and have that bigger success, congratulations to you, mate. And hopefully we'll chat to Sam Newman. We'll try and catch up with Limo a bit later on this morning. Yeah. And all the team. It's been a big week in footy, Ed.
Has been indeed.
It's been a big week in footy on more than one particular topic. 26 years. Congratulations to you, to Sam Newman, to all the current hosts, Ed, on a unbelievable success story in TV. 133-53. Lots and lots of people desperate to talk about some of their favourite footy show moments.
Yeah,
let's start
it's great.
With Margaret, who's on the line from Craigieburn. Margaret, take it away.
The green M&M moment when Sam punted and it deflated. It's still the funniest thing I've ever seen on TV.
Margaret, I agree with you. That was, to me, that was nearly the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life. It was hilarious. Can I give you some background on it? For those who might not know, there was a blue M&M that was being released. And remember, we broke the story early on about the jumper at Carlton. And
They changed their jumper that week to a bright blue M&M colour.
This one actually happened after that, I think it was. It was another colour. Yeah. It might have been green, actually. And it was the idea was that it was an aphrodisiac. If you had it, it put a bit of lead in the pencil, as was the vernacular of the day. And Sam swallowed a whole thing of it, poured it over his head, and he went after the M&M mascot. Now, beforehand, Margaret, we were told under no circumstances, the one thing, and the head people from Mars in America were here watching the show on the television at the hotel, don't touch the mascot. And this mascot had a fan in it to keep it inflated underneath and all this sort of stuff. And Sam said, it's come up as if it was rag, bagged and shagged, as Sam used to say. It was hilarious, Margaret, wasn't it?
It was very, very funny.
And then we had the Holden Lion dress. It was a guy called Lockie Pittman who runs banks.
He came on.
It was the most stupid, hilarious thing I've ever seen.
Hey, Margaret, hang on line. Limited edition hot breakfast coffee mug, some Sonali coffee coming your
thanks,
way.
Thanks, Mark.
Bert from Broadmeadows. Bert, what have you got for us?
Mine was all were fantastic shows, but mine was when Shane Crawford gave Sammy a hard time and pulled his pants down a bit. So it was hilarious.
What was funny about that, if you ever watch it again, is Matthew Lloyd presses on. He had a prop in his hand, a velvet sledgehammer, and he was going on.
He was
going
to get to his point, Lloydo, no matter what, wasn't he, that
and,
night?
I was hosting that night, and I remember looking around, because, you know, when these things happen, no one knew what was going to happen, and Sam said he would have been...
For those who don't remember, the full frontal exposure for Sam.
Well,
so Croft's gone to
dack him. He dacked his shorts first, and then Sam standing there, and everyone's laughing, and, of course, all cameras... cut to Sam, and then Croft reached over, and I go, oh, he's not going to do this, and he's gone, bang, he's pulled his underpants down, his jocks came off, and there was Sam, you know, literally flapping in the breeze, and I looked there, and there was not one camera we could cut to. The director's looking around, it was either a tighter shot.
There's live TV at its best. John's on the line from Springvale. What's your favourite memory of the footy show, John?
G'day, boys. I can think of three, but the first one was EJ Witten's passing. I don't think that's a favourite, I suppose, but that was certainly groundbreaking in itself.
One of the most poignant moments for sure, John. Yeah, absolutely. To look across and see Dougie Hawkins in tears and Sam, who had been so close to him, and everyone who was there, we were close friends of him. And I remember we got the word through, John, the segment before, and I said to Harvey Silver, the producer, I said, for goodness sake, go and get this checked 15 times. I'm not going to announce this on air. Go and find out. And I might have actually been two segments before. So I'm sitting there. I haven't told anybody else because the show had to go on, just making sure we verified it. And then, of course, it comes through and you do it. It was an amazing thing. And as a result of that, that's where the idea people watching that, and it's now come out that Jeff Kennett said last week, I was shocked that Jeff only found out that that was a rort about the state funeral. We knew about it the week after, that people had rung all the news agencies, so they rang the Herald Sun and said, oh, it's going to be a state funeral. And by the time Jeff woke up the next morning, it was already done.
Yeah.
You couldn't come back from it, because Jeff was a stickler to protocol, and there was no way that the protocol was that EJ wouldn't get a state
funeral.
Sports
people at that stage were outside.
I mean, you had to be
that.
A parliamentarian or a royal or Sir somebody. Anyway, it was the greatest, I thought the greatest thing of all time about Ted Whitten's life was that he wrought at a state funeral.
he stuck it right up.
It was the brightest part of it. It was everything about EJ.
Good on you, John. Thanks for your call. And hang on the line. I've got a voucher for you to go and take three mates to the pub at Crown for $100. Thanks for calling through, John from Springvale. We'll come back to that.
Come back some calls later on, mate.
Send some messages through. Get on the line.
Lots on Twitter mentioning the footage of Gary Lyon doing his hamstring.
Breaking his leg, wasn't it, on the stretcher?
He broke his leg. Last game out at the Witten Oval. And it was one of those ones that broke in at the shin. And when you freeze frame it, he's actually had three different joints in his leg that day.
And when he did the hammy doing the 100-metre sprint.
Okay, there you go. Beautiful.
Unfortunately, one of the great institutions of Melbourne and Australian television, at the Footy Show, after 25 years, which Nathan, you've been on, Chris, you've been on, Damien, you're a massive part of, and Darce, you've been on as a player as well, is no longer. Damo, firstly, we'll get the news behind it, and then I want to get a little bit of how you feel about a show that you were heavily involved in no longer being with us. But the news took place directly after the show last night.
The text started going around to people in the industry, so to speak, how we, within minutes of the close last night, and narrowly did sign off, we'll see you next week. Clearly the cast and the people on it, Brownie, and you weren't on it last night. You were meant to be, but I think you had an illness with your child. But it was clearly caught those people by surprise, Howie, but the release went out within half an hour of it finishing last night. It was on the cards for some time, whether it was going to be last night or at some stage of the next month. It was on the cards, and unfortunately, eight shows into this latest relaunch of the Footy Show, it's done for good this time.
So now I expect to open the paper tomorrow and read the Hey Hey It's Saturday style. We missed the Footy Show, bring it back. Why has it gone too soon? After 5 years of let's get rid of it, I expect tomorrow to be reading the Why Is It Not Back?
There'll be all of that. And obviously a decision has to be made around the possibilities of a fanfare type of arrangement, whether it be for 1 week, Brownie, or 2 weeks, or do you wait until the finals? But there'll be contractual issues, I'd imagine, with people getting back physically for such a show, Darce, but given that so many people have been so crucial to it, now have other media contracts. But I would think, just as a consumer, that there's so much good material that is sitting there to be used in a farewell way.
And Dame, I think everyone on a serious note who's benefited from the footy industry as a player, or those handful of us that have worked in the media subsequent, really should give enormous thanks to what that show created. Now, we're talking today, going back, you used to find out, Juddy, you're in the team when I first started playing, that you found out through the Footy Show. Literally, the teams were announced, and you'd sit there, and if you're in or out, it was announced by Eddie and Sam and whoever was on at the time, and it just dominated the airwaves. It changed the game. It grabbed so many more female people being interested in football, and going on as a player in the early days, Juddy, was about as big as it got, and you were that nervous. I can still remember the first time going into that studio, and Sam Newman and and Ed, they were the biggest personalities in town, the biggest stars in town. You get changed in Sam's room. I don't know if that was the case in subsequent years. But I couldn't believe that was the case. I thought, oh, Sam won't get near Sam. He'll have his own. No, you're in there, and you like the footy change rooms. You took your jocks off. Sam was getting changed. I said on radio this morning, I remember being in there, they had the puppetry of the penis on, and I remember as a young player walking into the rooms, and Friendy from the puppetry and the penis and Sam were comparing Eiffel Towers. And I was thinking, this show is strange, it's bizarre, it's massive. That, over 26 years, some of the things they did were off the scale, Howie, but I feel very grateful that certainly helped me to continue to get a job in an area that I wanted to, and so many others should be really thankful for what it was.
It opened up so many players to, I guess, TV for the first time. We saw, for the very first time, the current AFL players having a voice and having a part of the game. So Jason Dunstall was on there very early days, Tim Watson, Stephen Silvani, all these guys.
Dougie Hawkins was massive in the early days.
I remember the first time I ever went on there was 2000. I was pretty young, and we always used to have, and most of the good stuff happened pre-game or post-show, but this one night, and remember you had to do the fast forward and the rewind with the old VHS tapes?
Mm-hmm.
So the very first time I went point in there was on the back of a Collingwood loss, and Ed was already pretty filthy about things. And poor old Ralphie Horowitz, who just couldn't quite find the right fast forward button. So Ed just wanted this one particular piece to stop on this one particular frame, and Ralphie Horowitz couldn't get there, so he was going past it. He was coming back, and then all of a sudden, Ed, who had a mouthful of roast lamb with potato, spat it all out and absolutely went berserk. And I thought, this is what TV's all about.
And Howie, I don't think I'm talking out of school here, but the dilemma that was a weekly occurrence around whether you told Sam Newman not to say something, knowing that he then would say it, or would you actually say to Sam, please say it, and then trying to get into his head, thinking that he may not say it because you've been asked to say it. And that was the producer's battle every single Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, going into the Thursdays. And Sam would just roll up at probably 5:10 to 8, as it started at 8:30 in recent years, and didn't see the running sheet till it started. And then, look, that obviously caused some problems for the show too, as part of the perception that it had in recent years. But without him, it wasn't going to be lasting into the 26th year as it did.
And he's sort of misunderstood in some ways, Sam. Like, if I think of my favourite memory of the footy show, personally, it's a very strange one. It has to do with my slip-up, Duke, which you conveniently pointed out pre-show. But I did say something which I was horrified about when I went on last year, Howie. Quickly apologised, felt really bad about it for a couple of days, and the first bloke to give me a call a couple of days later was in fact Sam Newman, just to check in on me and make sure that everything was okay. And for all the perceptions that he builds and creates outwardly, inside there is a very caring bloke that really does have a genuine care for the people around him. So that's my favourite obscure memory from the footy show.
And that's really nicely said, Chris. So there's only one way to ask you: how many episodes into your footy show career did you realise that you weren't a TV guy?
I knew early on, Howard. About halfway through the first episode, I realised this wasn't going to be for me.
What is it about the cameras and the lights?
Oh, they make me nervous. Dick.
You lose all personality on TV, Judge, don't you? What happens? Can you explain? You're a very smart man. Can you explain where your personality runs off to when those lights go on?
Sucked away into the cameras.
Right, lights. There's a lot of audience too, Howard. There's a lot of witnesses there. I don't like it.
After 26 years, the final siren sounds on the Footy Show, the longest running sports TV show in just about television history. Yeah. And the man who single-handedly drove it into the ground, Anthony Lehman, joins us this morning on the show. Lemo. How do you feel?
I was listening to that intro thinking there's no need to mention that there were 735 shows and I was there for seven of them.
Well, what people are saying, Lemo, is the last seven were definitely the best. And that's actually why they've wound it up. They just said, well, they didn't want to ruin the legacy of the ones that came before based on how good the new one was.
I feel a bit like Ferris Bueller. You know how he drove his dad's Ferrari off the, the balcony?
Can I say this in all honesty, Lemo, and I said this early on today. I watched the show last night, and I then watched the tape of the front bar as well, and I thought they were both great shows last night, pitched at different audiences. You provided exactly what the network asked of you. You pitched it at an audience. Now, the audience wasn't necessarily there, but the shows were great, and you showed absolute professionalism to you and Neroli and Fev and Croft and
Dylan
Orcott, who was there. You couldn't have done any better. And I think there should be a little bit of little background on this as well. Lemo took this show on in the week of the first show, because there was a lot of talk about whether the show was going to go on. There's a lot of talk whether what the name was going to be, but just completely. So Lemo, being the professional that he is and up for anything, put himself on the line and had a go. The network wanted to try something different. And Lemo, I think you walk out of this with your head held high. You're a total professional. And I just think that my estimation of you, which was high to start with, has only gone through the roof. You're an absolute star.
Thanks, Ed. I really appreciate that. And, you know, I heard you say that early this morning, that last night's show was a ripper. And we're really proud of what we've produced. You know, the shows have been perhaps a little bit up and down. But last night's show, which is only our eighth show,
yep,
to be fair, it was an absolute belter. And I'd hold that show up any day of the week as a great 75 minutes of entertainment.
Certainly
so was. As a team, we were really, really proud of that. And I spoke to Neroli yesterday. And, you know, I mean, we've got eyes and ears and we're not idiots. So we knew that there was potentially a bit of heat on the show. And Ness and I said to each other, look, if this is going to be our last show, and we had no idea at the time, but I said to Ness, if it is going to be our last show, let's make a show that makes every single person who watches it really disappointed. that it's not going to be back next week. And I feel as though we achieved that last night. We had a great team behind the scenes. They just worked their asses off, and they were fantastic. And as you mentioned this morning, Ed, I really feel for that crew. I mean, some of those people have been there for 25 years.
Yep.
And they lost their jobs last night. And that was, for me, that made me sadder than anything, really. And people all, I mean, I don't know if the Herald Sun writing a story about this, is there anything?
Well, I think that'll be all the stories in the Herald Sun today.
They haven't missed for a couple of years, so why would today be any different?
I mean, in fact, the Herald Sun will probably be in mourning today because they can't do their five stories a week about the footy show.
Well, by the time they run everyone out of town, there's going to be nothing left. Yeah. So.
I mean, if Labor win the election and the footy show gone, they might have to shut down the Herald Sun.
Exactly.
But as people are reading all those stories today, whether they be on the Herald Sun or The Age or wherever they are, what won't be mentioned are the crew that have been there for 20-plus years who are losing their jobs. So spare a thought to that lot, who are just a pack of legends who, as Ed, you mentioned earlier today, were a very important part of the
show. Oh, and, the thing that made the show in the first instance was, I walked out for my first ever Tonight Show type of live entertainment. Sam said to me as I walked out the first night, "What are we doing?" I said, "Well, let's just do a sportsman's night." We walked out there, and the reason why the show fizzed right off the bat was because the crew were the guys who'd been on Hey Hey It's Saturday, Logies, cricket telecasts, every big show, Ray Martin shows. These guys were super pros, and we went out and did our thing, but they made us look good. Gary Newnham has been the director of the show from the very first show to last night, so there's a great legacy there.
Well, Limo, can I say this to you, mate? The one thing that we know about you is every time you lose a job, you get five more new ones. So I'm looking forward to seeing what the next five are.
Yeah, I start a Tonight Show on Channel 7 next week, guys.
Well, you're still on Fox Footy. You've still got the show over there, haven't you?
The beep test on Fox Footy, guys.
That's it. You're the star of the beep test.
And don't forget the Portsy Polo coming up in January where Limo does his
you'll be returning those calls again, won't you, down the Portsy Polo. And your new show, Talking Front Bar, where you talk about what happened on the front bar. It's going to be a good one.
It's not a bad idea. And you know what? I've got to learn to not open my big mouth, because one of the things I said in press before the footy show started was that I don't want to be the answer to the quiz question, who was the last ever host of the footy show? Well,
I got a funny feeling that might be the beep test first question on Sunday night.
Yeah, look out for that one.
Hey, Limo, you're an absolute star. We love you in every sense, and congratulations, mate. In the spirit of what it was, and thinking about everyone else as he always does, Limo. I believe you're on a flight to Adelaide today, so thanks for jumping on, mate. We appreciate it.
I am indeed. Thanks, Sam. Really appreciate the support.
Good on you, mate.
Good on you, Limo.
And again, I'd like to congratulate the Channel 9 management as well, because they had a go at something a bit different. The footy show finished really last year on the grand final show. In the end, they rolled the dice, didn't come up, and that's what show business is all about.
We've been trying to call Sam Newman this morning. Is there a chance that Sam doesn't know?
There's
a
big chance.
Big chance.
There's a massive chance.
We're trying to wake him up. It's raining, which means he's probably not playing golf, so we'll see if we can get hold of him.
Turned off the phone, had a sleep in, and he's going to wake up to a lot of messages.
It's 26 years, the Footy Show on Channel 9 has been one of the longest running sports shows in the history of television. We've been trying to contact Sam Newman. We believe there's still a chance he doesn't know that the show that he's on for 25 years has ended. But we can get Sam before 9 o'clock this morning. That's exactly what we'll do.
We got Limo this morning. It was really nice of Limo to come on and have a chat with us this morning. And we said to him, we were like, mate, you know, we're your friends. We want you to come on here. We want to celebrate you. And then, Das, you started with this question.
After 26 years, the final siren sounds on the Footy Show, the longest running sports TV show in just about television history. Yeah. And the man who single-handedly drove it into the ground, Anthony Lehman, joins us this morning on the show. Limo, how do you feel?
I was listening to that intro thinking there's no need to mention that there were 735 shows and I was there for seven of them. And you know what? I've got to learn to not open my big mouth, because one of the things I said in press before the footy show started was that I don't want to be the answer to the quiz question,
who was the last ever host of the footy show? Well,
I got a funny feeling that might be the beep test first question on Sunday night.
Yeah, look out for that one.
Maybe a bit too soon for Limo in hindsight. we had our time again, but I'm sitting next to a man that has got a bit of a mixed emotions today, Eduardo. Well, if you're looking back, how do you feel right now? Is it a bit of sadness, or do you feel proud? What are you overriding emotion at the moment?
All that does. I must admit, just hearing, we've been talking about it all morning, and just hearing the theme song, they're actually half teared up a bit, to be honest. I am feeling really emotional right at this second, and I don't know where it's come from. I just, we're all having a fun, having a laugh a second ago, and suddenly it hits me. I started thinking about all the people who have been there, the great moments. I was thinking about, because I was going to ask you a question about it, Dust. I thought, the first time I walked onto the grand final footy show at Rod Laver Arena, I just couldn't believe what had happened. Then we went to London, walked into the Theatre Royal. The joint was packed with Aussies, and we had so much fun. And, it changed my life. Yeah. It was the biggest thing in my life, and it set up my family and my whole career off the back of it. I worked with a bloke called Sam Newman, and, people, have a go at Sam and all this stuff, but if he doesn't go into the Television Hall of Fame, then it is a get-up. I mean, whether you like him or not, he has been a dominant feature on Australian television. The show changed and evolved as it went, and some people and the world turned around it. But, gee, early on it was exciting, Dust. We used to bounce out on a Thursday night. It was the most fun you could possibly have. And we used to giggle the next day with the ratings. As I said, when it first started, Sydney told us, Ian Johnson, who was the brains behind it, and I pay tribute to Ian Johnson, who was a visionary of television. It was told 6 weeks to rate an 18, which was the figure in those days. Well, we rated an 18 the first night, and then once we got cracking, it just took off. And the excitement that we had amongst all that, and then David Leckie supported it from Sydney, and then a year later, the Sydney Footy Show came on, and the two shows won the Logies every year between them for the best part of 20-something years. So it was wonderful. But I just want to pay tribute to Sam and to Trevor Marmalade. Let's not forget Trevor Marmalade, who, really... Yeah, from a comedian's point of view, Will just set the standard in those days and just brought it to life. A stand up comic every Thursday night to Billy and to Gary Lyon and to James Brayshaw, who after I finished up kept it going for another 10 years and took it to a different position. But that show was just mighty with those guys. James Brayshaw and Gary Lyon were just fantastic hosts, and Billy Brownless right there from the word go. And I don't miss anyone, but then Rebecca Madden and took it to another level. We came back last year to get it to the 25 years, and we did the final. You heard Sam last year, and we thought that was probably going to be it. To Nine's credit, they rolled the dice again to maybe go to a younger audience. Didn't quite work, but I'll state it again. Last night's show was as good a show as you'd ever want to see on television for sports entertainment. Yep. I watched the front bar afterwards and thought, there's a different direction. They had really good interviews. They had Mark McClure on, and over on Channel 9 you had Jaden Stevenson and Daisy Thomas going into Collingwood. It was hilarious. It was great. So I think everyone should be very proud today.
We're celebrating the history of the footy show today, but can I ask you a question? Because you've been behind the scenes on this new show as well. Do you think in retrospect they made the mistake of calling it the footy show? Would it have been better to call it something else and give it a fresh start and a fresh opportunity?
We put a lot of things onto the table. And so here's the decision, okay? So it comes to you and you go, right, we thought More Than a Game off the back of the song would have been the way to go to differentiate. The footy show with no Sam Newman is not the footy show. And, I came and went. That was okay. As I said, those other hosts came in. Sam was the footy show. Sam was the footy show for 25 years. So we thought, let's give it a chance. Give it something fresh, because it's either too big for people to come into, or it has had its run. Anyway, the network there says, no, our trademark is the footy show. And you go, right, that makes a lot of sense as well. In the end, as I said, the show was a great show. It didn't quite resonate. It is now, I think, early this year. I had a good thing about this, Dust, was we did an early bird quiz early in this year, and he had to name 7 footy shows that are on at the moment out of a list of about 20.
Yeah.
And the other thing that was really up against it was the fact that there were so many Thursday night shows. It went to Wednesday. It was bouncing around a bit. So, it's unfortunate, but that's show business. That's television. And particularly these days with budgets as tight as they are, if it's not rating, then that's the end of it.
I think you get asked more about one person in your life than anyone would be working with Ed in one sense. And then Sam Newman. And as a young player, when you went on that show, I've got this vivid memory of, I said earlier today, you go and change in Sam's dressing room. Now, I would assume you'd go in and Sam have his own space, don't get near him before the show. Now, all the players that are on the show, you get dressed in Sam's room. And I was on one day very early on, and there was a new act in town called the Puppetry of the Penis. And the guys from the Puppetry of the Penis, they were warming up. in Sam's dressing room as well.
Literally warming up.
And literally,
it is one of those acts that you do need to warm up.
Yeah, you do need to warm up for. And I saw Friendy from Puppetry of the Penis and Sam comparing Eiffel Towers backstage. I'm thinking that's something that I'll take to the grave as well. But he was such a generous person, Sam. He was so welcoming. He was so loyal. If anyone had worked with him before, I mean, he gets a lot of things thrown at him, Sam, but anyone who's had anything to do with him,
he's the most generous performer that you could ever meet, Sam. He would do anything for a laugh. He'd throw himself on a grenade. He'd make something happen. Sometimes if the show was just going, he would just pull something out of the air like magic. And those early days, as I said, it was just hilarious. As a young player, we used to find out if you're on the team. Doug Hawkins, when we first started, people said, who's Doug Hawkins? Isn't he some bloke? You know, and Doug came on with his axe, and people hadn't seen the sort of Western Suburbs guy. Jason Dunstall became a star. Tim Watson was one of the biggest names on the show the first year before he went back to Channel 7, and on it went. And you look at all the careers of so many people who've come through that show. We're very proud of what it's been and what it's added to the whole feel of football. And we just took the baton on from Lou and Bob and Jack on league teams. World of Sport, you know, I'm going to go to Mike Williamson's funeral on Monday. Sam will give the eulogy, and I'm going to bring the Premiership trophy up that he first called in 1958. The Saints are going to bring the 66 trophy up, and the Blues are going to bring the 1970 trophy up. And you think about all those things, and you know what? Now it opens up, and there's going to be a whole new generation coming through.
Now, the Footy Show acts last night, Fat.
Yep.
Something that you were on for 22 years.
And your good self.
Not as long, 10. But great sadness for me.
Yeah.
And I'll get to why in a moment. But it's lots of people, Fat, have death ridden this show for a long time.
For a while. Yep.
And that was always a source of sadness to me because by death riding it, they actually completely missed the point.
Yeah.
They completely missed what the whole thing was about.
Yeah.
And some of the amazing things that show did.
Well, you're right. And I always think of the charities that the Footy Show helped along the way.
Oh, yeah.
And I still remember Eddie Maguire standing up at auctions, selling a table to the grand final Footy Show or to come in and be part of the live audience for $10,000.
Yep.
And then the second bidder selling one there for $9,000. So they both they walk out $18,000 for the charity.
Out of nowhere.
Out of nowhere.
Just to sit and watch a show. They would have made tens and, or you know, maybe over that journey, even hundreds of millions of dollars for charities around Australia.
Yep.
You and I, both in our time, used to get nailed and happily by charities from everywhere going, can we have a table to auction at our, you know, our charity auction? And then the people email you back and they'd go, we got $4,000.
Yeah.
What, $6,000?
Thanks for that.
It was the highest selling thing at the auction by a mile. Thank you so much.
Exactly.
So you extrapolate that out, Bill, over 20 plus years.
26.
The amount of money made for charity just out of that show alone.
Yeah, that's
extraordinary.
Right. And it's a sad day, as you said, because it's a sad day for Channel 9. Because I was talking to people today, and people our age, Jim, happy birthday tomorrow, by the way, people our age, they grew up with a Footy Show.
Yep.
Maybe not Rabsy, who's a bit younger.
No, definitely.
But you get home, and I was talking to someone here today at work. She said, we're allowed to stay up Thursday nights to watch the Footy Show.
It was must watch.
And it's sad because a lot of people, like the talent, and we had some great people go through. When you look at Trev and Dermy, James Hurd, Roland, Dougie Hawkins, Wispy, you go, there's 100 of them.
Oh, and they were the biggest names in the game. Well, the superstars of football were always on that show.
But it's also the staff behind the scenes.
Yep.
The same old cameramen, Beamsy and Dave. And all those blokes, mate.
Wonderful.
They loved the show as much as we
Paulie,
did.
Paulie, the floor manager.
Paulie, mate. Yeah. Wonderful. And then you got the producers. There's been a lot of producers come and gone. So there's great memories about. Just, I've got a list here. Look at this. They got the David Swartz. Were you on that night?
No,
I wasn't on either. But, mate, that night when that wasn't set up. I know they've set up to have a pie there, but nothing else was set up about it.
Yes.
Shane Crawford, how emotional he actually got and how emotional everyone got when he come back. That one to Perth when he rode over there.
Incredible.
Of course, you got Sam with a couple of his things there. The World Cup one, which we'll talk about very shortly, that was fantastic. That's Nathan Brown and Gaz breaking their leg. Didn't you get some fun out of that with on the stretcher?
No, well, that went for a couple of years.
Oh, mate.
That vision went for a couple of years.
That was a go-to gag.
Oh, yeah.
Street talk.
Amazing.
Unbelievable, the street talk.
Yo, Gabba Gabba.
Oh, yes, exactly.
Yes. Oh.
I tell you what, Fev, when he was at the Brownlow
that night.
Shane Crawford when he dacked Sam that night, which, again, this is all live television.
Yes.
It's, when we sold out at London at Theatre Royal, which is this
Drury Lane,
thousand-year-old theatre, Jim. Mm-hmm. It's three stories, and we got over there. And I remember the producer told us, they said, we're going to book this theatre, and they ring this theatre, and they go, what is it, a footy? No, we don't, no, I'm not sure anyway. The footy show talked them into it. Sold out with the expats over there in 25 minutes.
Yep.
All the musicals don't sell out that quick. No. So they rang back from London. They said, do you want to do another show tomorrow? Do you want to do a matinee? Like they wanted us to do just things like that. And I tell you what, I love the wheel. I love getting out and doing the wheel. And the House of Bulger, we watched that today, Jim. Let me tell you. Joy Bill, she was the ugliest woman I've ever seen.
Oh, no question. And how did you ever think that wasn't going to be the case?
Well, you're right. You're right. But there's some good times.
Oh, look, Fat, the sadness for me is that there wasn't a proper farewell for what has been one of the most extraordinarily phenomenal television shows in the history of the caper.
Mm.
All right, the last 2 years and a bit have been ordinary.
No, they have. We're all honest.
But, Bill, prior to that, the 20-plus years of live football entertainment, this show dominated primetime television. Yep. Won its slot comprehensively against all comers, made the Nine Network millions of dollars of revenue every year.
Exactly.
Was more than one occasion that I can remember anyway, the single reason Nine won the ratings week.
Yep.
We are unlikely ever again, Fat, to see that type of dominance over that length of time from a live show again.
And the fun we had.
Oh, no, extraordinary. But the other thing is, we may also never again see a star like Sam Newman shine on our screens. Yep. Because the constantly offended won't allow someone that edgy to exist again. But he should have been celebrated, and the show should have been celebrated for the ground it broke, the risks it took, the ratings it delivered over the best part of a quarter of a century. So the sadness for me is that there wasn't a finale. There wasn't, righto, it's been great.
To say thank you.
Thank you, we're all out. And Seven would have let me do something. Across. Fox would have let Gaz do something. Yeah. And just to say, look, we loved it. It was a privilege to do.
Yeah.
And so the great sadness for me is that I don't know who made the call to try and squeeze one last bit out of the lemon, but I would love it to have gone out with dignity.
Yep.
And I would love the great career of Sam Newman to have been better celebrated.
There was two stars on the show. Eddie, of course, being the host, early days. But the other star, there's no doubt, as we all know, was Sam. And you go everywhere. And Sam was the star.
He was the star.
You were there for 10 years, Jimmy Boy, as
11,
a host.
I think 11.
Yeah, well, sorry, 2006, 2000. Yeah, 11 years. But you were the music man. So whenever we had a gig on or a band on or, you know, some super talent that come onto this show.
Well, I looked after him.
Jim looked after him just like this.
It is quite amazing to have an act of this size live on The Footy Show. I mentioned at the start of the show, 90 million albums worldwide for this band. They got us off to a cracking start. And they're back with a song that was number one right around the world. Put your hands together for Chris. A kiss, I should say. And I was made for loving you.
Don't doctor that audio.
Who's Chris?
I know. And you know what? Everyone else let it go. And then old Fat was off to the side. He came screaming back on. Who's Chris?
Who's Chris? I even asked him when they were sitting there. The kiss was sitting. Ever been introduced as Chris?
Fat, I didn't even know I'd said it. Until you came back on, Jesus, I had no idea I'd even said it. What about when Gene Simmons licked Gary on stage?
Oh,
remember that? You know, he's got the big tongue.
Yeah.
He just goes, you're a good-looking man, and licked him right up the side of his head. Oh, Jesus.
Sam kissed,
what about, speaking of...
Kiss Molly, remember that?
Oh, no, I like that. Speaking of, the show, and, of course, Germany and your run across the naked park.
The park.
Well, people had noticed how small the Tadge was, so we decided we had to reflect it on the show the next week.
I am down in the dumps. I'm sick of the bloody lycra small dick jokes.
Calm, of course. Come on, Bill.
No more lycra jokes and no more small little peppy acorn, tic-tac, pin dick button, Mr. Unincredible. I've been called everything for the whole week and I've had it up to pussy's bow. Oh, I suppose you'll have one, funny man.
No, I was going to side with you, mate. It's what they say. It's not the size that's important. It's whether or not you can find it.
We had some fun. But also the interstate. We used to go interstate and do the shows. Perth and Adelaide and things like that.
We did.
But we went to the World Cup, Jim. Remember that? When we went to the World Cup for the soccer?
I think we've run out of time.
In Germany?
We need to get to Braggartist.
Well, this was fantastic. That's right. You had to stay at home.
Oh, it was...
You did a rebs.
Well, we're 8.5 minutes in, so we're probably done. I reckon.
Now, a huge crowd. This is Australia playing Brazil at Munich.
Yes.
Huge crowd.
Yes.
A lot of yellow and gold, Jim, funny enough.
Yeah.
Both sides. But I was singing all these Australian songs to get the crowd going, K-San and all that. And we were sitting there with Colin Hay, right? Colin Hay there. And this song come on, which we're about to play now, and I couldn't believe it that Colin Hay sings this song and he's sitting with us in the crowd and all these Aussies just could not believe it.
Hey, Damo, while we wait for Gil, he's not far away. Footy show after, 25 years on air?
26th year? And
Had its last show, and we're not going to dive into why, but what I am doing, and I suspect I'm going to wait for a while, is... Just standing by until a journalist somewhere has the balls to not death ride it for the last 20 of those 25 years and just decide that I'm now going to retrofit the decline of the show. Just one of them somewhere to have the balls to turn around and say, this thing was a phenomenon.
Juggernaut.
It was a football entertainment show that for 22 of those 25 years dominated a primetime slot to the point where nothing that was put up against it got close to it.
Mm-hmm.
And we won't see its like again ever. But so just someone,
spot on.
Whoever writes about it somewhere, instead of going, I saw its demise way back in 1997, forget about that garbage because you didn't. No one saw any of that crap for 22 years. It was untouchable. Someone just write that this thing rewrote entertainment television in this country, was a phenomenon and needs to be recognised as one of the great television vehicles of all time.
And also the money raised through four charities at different functions, the grand final tables. I remember Eddie standing up and auctioning them for 10 grand and then he'd auction another one next door for 10 and things like that. The money raised through
incredible. I've
charities.
Many of them myself.
You have.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Every sportsman's night I've been to.
That's right.
A table of 10 at the footy show raised hundreds of thousands
millions,
of dollars
probably.
For clubs.
Yep, exactly. Yep. And you're right, Jim. And it's a shame, isn't it? Because we had some really good people there, producers and behind the scenes and all that.
And they were wonderful. Yeah. But they exist on all footy shows and it's great. But I just can't stand the way that it's now being spoken about in the public forum.
Yeah, I agree with that.
They are missing what actually it was.
Yeah, there was a pile-on effect, wasn't it? And while it had ultimately no impact on what actually happened the other night, Jim, the show had run its race over those 26 years. But I agree. The recreating of history and the retelling of the show's impact on the town and the country itself has been lost in all of this.
Nigh on mischievous.